What I'm trying to let you understand is this, that kings are actually a product of royalty, which you are already. The Bible says you are a royal priesthood, you are a chosen generation, you are a peculiar people. So according to the operations and the template of God, you are kings and princes, seated as you are. But do you know what you ought to do as kings and princes? The Bible says, an heir differeth not from a slave, as long as he's a child, although he's put under tutors and mentors until he grows. That is to say that a king and a prince, which you are, must be equipped, must be built to understand the rudiment that governs the kingdom which you are called to rule and to guide. Many of us have become irresponsible kings and princes. We don't know what we are supposed to do. Imagine if today, they make, I'm looking for the person that I know cannot rule the kingdom. What's your name?
Caleb.
Imagine today, they make Caleb and Ashe. Caleb, you are not qualified to marry, so I won't use Ashe for you. They make Caleb a king. The king of the entire Lafia. Look at him, please. Look at him very well so that you know the person I'm talking about. This one, to rule the entire Lafia. I add him Nasarawa State, the entire Nasarawa State. You know how many local government in Nasarawa State? He doesn't even know from to start. So you know that there will be a problem. That was what happened in Israel, because 8-year-old was a king. Royalty is dangerous. They can carry you when you are 5-year-old and say, now you're a king. You will now start wondering, what should you do? Mommy, you are still the mommy. And you are already a king of the whole. And you are running to your mommy. You can't even sleep alone. And you are the king. It's a challenge. It's a child. So one day, he wake up. They say, what should we do in this kingdom? What should we eat? You say, let everybody take sweet. Or they should do indomie for everybody. Because he's a child, he doesn't understand that there are married women, there are elders, there are old people, there are all kinds of, he doesn't know any of that one. So when they bring complaint to him, he's wondering, are you okay? What are you saying? See, a king, an heir, he differed not from a slave. He's as much as a slave. Because he's a child. So what does king do? Kings, number one, they know when to stand. Every king knows when to stand. He knows when to stand his right. Every king knows when to man up for responsibility. Every king knows when to defend his territory. Every king knows when he has to stand and defend the laws and the constitution that governs the kingdom that he rules. So as a king, you must know when to stand. Bible says, stand steadfast according to the liberty wherewith God has given unto you, and refuse to be entangled by any kind of thing that looks like bondage. As a king, you must know when you ought to stand. And a king is always supposed to stand right. What that means is that you must defend the fatherless. You must stand to legislate. You must always do the needful. Be prompt when you are demanded as a king. You must be ready at all times. One of the things that make you to be ready is to learn to be able to stand to pray. In the days and the time when the nation is in peril, can you rise up and pray for your nation? Every king must also know when he has to walk. You must know when you ought to walk. You must labor. Every king ought to labor. You must work. You must equip yourself. You must learn. You must get engaged in what is going on in the kingdom. You must leave your palace and know when you have to walk. Walk out of the palace and see what is going on within. Many of you don't know what is going on in the African society. You don't know what's going on in the body of Christ. You are not even concerned. You don't know what's going on. You don't even know what the body of Christ needs. You don't know the vacancy. You don't know the availability. It's like a research that you are doing. You need to know the gap. What was the thing that has not covered? Every king must know the gap, the areas of interest in keeping to his kingdom. So you must know when to walk. You must walk. W-O-R-K. And also you must learn and know when to also W-A-L-K. Walk. How do you call it anyhow? You must learn that. When you have to be able to walk out from where you are. Not just stand. Now walk to that location. Walk to that region. Walk to that place. Walk to this place. Because sometimes it is when you walk out that you are going to know many things and get exposed to your kingdom. And every king must also know when to run. There are times when the matters require urgency. As a result of that, you ought to run. Like you really, really ought to run. Running actually entails speeding up things. Peradventure, certain things may be going wrong in the kingdom and there is a need for emergency. Maybe they give you only 2 days or two. They give you 2 days maximum to execute a task. You must learn how to run. You must learn how to speed up things. You must learn how to be able to manage resources to ensure that things are achieved at due time. Every king must learn how to coordinate to ensure that everything is done promptly. Many of you can never be trusted by the Lord. Many of you, we cannot entrust you with anything. If you say, let this thing be done, as also time, we know that it will happen in the next 15 years to come. You will not even do it. Okay. And every king must learn and know when to sit. There are times when you ought to sit. Sitting is more like resting. The king does not really need to stand to make a decree. No. You can sit down and make a decree, and your decree will be law and standing. It will be binding. Okay? So every king must learn when to sit. Sitting means, as a king, you must learn when you have to give attention to the people within your kingdom. Many of you never see the need to relate with other people in the body of Christ. It's wrong. Yes, you are a king. Yes, you are a priest. But God, madam, relate with people. You are called for the people. Is that true? The people in your kingdom don't have access to you, and you are a king. It's not okay. There should be at least a minimum number. You can't reach out to everybody. It's not possible for you to have for everybody to reach out to you. It's not even possible. I thought I could do it. I was doing it before. I discovered I would die in the next 2 years. Every day you reach out to close to thousands of people. You think it's easy? Nah, I was trying to make sure I respond to everybody. I discovered it was a waste of time. Because in a day, 300, 400 messages. And when you check chat, you now get afraid. Then calls. You are now worse than customer care agent. And I was getting headache. I was getting all kinds of things. I was not eating. I was not resting. And I discovered that this labor is not God that gave me. It's me that gave myself. I employed myself into something that was not supposed to be. And I started putting my phone on flight mode very well. So that I can sleep. Do you realize that? And I realize that every king, but nevertheless, I still have time for people. I mean, you know. Do you understand? There should be a minimum required number of people that I still have time for them, no matter how you do. There are people that absolutely, totally, they disengage themselves from human beings. I love to stay indoors. I love to stay and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you, when matter reach matter, when I see some people text message, I'm telling you, I'll even leave my house and go there. Why? Because every king must know when to sit. You must learn when to sit with the people. in your community, sit with the people in your kingdom and talk. A king is also a shepherd. Do you realize that? A king has to shepherd the kingdom. So as we are like this in this ministry, you must understand that you have to be your brothers, your neighbors, your sister keeper. That's what I mean. Yes, we are kings and priests, we are royalty, but please relate with each other. Many of you don't even know your names here. I don't even know why. I don't even know how that's happened. I know I don't even know everybody's name. Me too, I'm beauty. But that's why I'm trying. All the time, you see, I'm meeting new people and I'm introducing myself. I'm doing all of these things. It's intentional. Sometimes I don't keep people's name on my head. It's very hard. But at least relate to people. If somebody comes close to you and the person is trying to be friendly, you are not angry, you are frowning. Why? I know one guy. He doesn't smile at all. Even if you try to make him laugh, he will never laugh. You know his laugh? Like a dog. People will be watching something and everybody is laughing. I'm not looking at the guy. And the guy is so frowning. I used to wonder what is really making him angry. How can you live long like that? I would say merry heart works like medicine. Like laughter is like medicine. Do you realize that? It goes so well. Some people, when you greet them, you say good morning, they tell you what's good about the morning. So good afternoon. Why are you greeting me? Good afternoon. You understand me, Lord, give you understanding. Please. I know you are a king, I know you are a priest, but please relate with each other. Learn when to sit. Just sit down with people and just talk for a while. You know, there are times I just sit down, we just talk and talk, and I feel very happy. I'm very serious. It doesn't always have to be the book of Revelation, then the book of Genesis, the book of Deuteronomy. Then let's start praying. I know one of my friends. That guy is praying all the time. I don't know whether that's really how he's doing all the time. Because only when we are going for meetings. We go for meetings and we are just like that, and the guy is just. I understand that because even most times when I'm in a meeting, you will see me. Even if I'm not in a meeting, you see me alone, most I'm praying in tongues. I don't know about you, but that's how I do. I cannot be walking and praying in tongues. I can just be with you and I'm just speaking some tongues. But sometimes when you are sitting with people, do you understand? I am making too obvious. You make the people feel as though they are the devil. They are trying to cast out. Do you understand? I'm sitting with you, we are talking. And you are just neglecting. I'm talking with you and you are just. I'm still talking. And remain like that. But don't even go to toilet, don't even eat food, just remain like that. Jaja is playing guitar, but you know he's not playing this guitar all the time. There is time that you drop this and go and sleep. Maybe you play it in his dream, but he won't be playing all the time. No matter how much you love this thing. So please, you must know when to what. Rest, that's what I call sit. Learn to sit. And every king must learn when to bow. There are times when your majesty comes, you must bow. You are king, but there is a king of kings and the Lord of lords. Many of you are too proud and arrogant. You don't even want to bow at all. Even when the presence of God comes heavily upon you, you can't go down. I was in a meeting, huh? I was dressed so fine. In fact, the clothes I never put it before. The power of God came heavily upon me. You know, me, I'm very wise. I don't know about you. Anybody can be slain by the power of God, you know that. But there is a wisdom. So that God does not take you like the thief in the night. You know, Jesus can come to you like the thief in the night. And I don't think he will come for me like that. So immediately when I sense the power of God heavily, I go down on my own. Do you understand? So that before the demon will carry me down, I just go down jejele. So I'm already down. How much down can I go again? But you are the one that are feeling the power of God, you are still standing. You are still doing. Before you know it, the thing will now. You now break our chairs. I have broken my hand, broken my head, broken many things following that anointing. So, by reason of exercise, by the reason of use, by the reason of breaking several times and falling several times, I have learned how to just obey before complaining. So, when I sense a heavy power of God, I either lie down, or I kneel down, or I even sit down. Because I know that it will bring me down. It's God, though. It is not human being. No matter your capacity of prayer, you bring capacity. But when God comes, he will release more of himself again. Do you understand? So every king must know when to walk, bow. Your knee must always go down. Okay? You must know when to bow. You must know when to kneel. You must also know when to what? Prostrate. There are times when you are worshiping the Lord, you just feel like also lying down. Yes, you are a king. David was a king, right? But he was dancing. He was the way you see. When you read the scripture, you see what kings do. You wonder, where did your own kingship come from? There are things we did before we became anointed. We won't stop it because of you. No. Till today, I still kneel down. Whether I'm betting in the bathroom and I send the power of God, I'll go down and kneel down. Whether it's in the hotel, I do that. Whether outside, I do it. It's not published. No. These are things we do personally. Just that sometimes prayer place will be your secret life. Do you realize that? If you truly are a man of the presence, when you come out, prayer meeting, all this, you just have to, it just flow naturally. So don't be shy. Don't be ashamed. No. I know you are a king, but there are times when you need to kneel. There are times you need to bow. There are times you need to prostrate. In fact, there are times you even need to lie down. Don't worry. You know, sometimes in this kind of social media time we are, at the end of that time, we used to go to the mountain. Any time I'm the mountain, after we are done from the mountain, when I check Facebook, I see pictures I don't like on Facebook. Somebody just snapping. And I'm with my jalabia, with stick, holding stick. And somebody will just snap. And I realize that sometimes you have to be careful. I get what I'm saying now. So if you are the type that you don't like people to maybe put your picture online, then you have to be careful. So respect yourself. When you go for a meeting and the power of God is coming heavily, please, I know you are a king. Just look for one of the chair and hold it very well. Hold something. Then you sit down. Then be shaking inside of the chair. If it's getting too much, go down and sit down in a very comfortable way and be crying there. If they snap you like that, if you see online, don't worry. If not, you will see yourself flink like that. I will not be angry. Is that me? One lady, when the power of God came, the cap she put, you know this kind of lady's cap, the thing left her and went to one side. And here was a lady with one head that was just, I know cameramen don't use the phone on anointing. The cameraman was videoing her. He was snapping her. And the lady saw all those things online. That lady was angry. Because that was what she doesn't want. And every lady dressed very well to come to church. So she need that one. That was the one she wants online. So that she can put it as her profile picture. But now you now brought something that is almost impossible for her to use. But that's the original high, you know. I learned of one man that fell under the anointing, one Igbo man fell under the anointing. When they called his phone, he picked the phone. Say, hello, Chibuzo, call me later, I'm under the anointing. No. Say, oh my God. It has become a cliche now. I pray for one woman, I think, right? The woman said she's not feeling the anointing. She didn't fall. Everybody was falling, and she was not falling. And she felt something was wrong with that. In Zaria, we'll do meet after we are done with meet like this. Some ladies, if they don't fall that day, they will not be happy. They will come and meet me and say, Apostle, I didn't fall. Is it that God's angry with me? I say, no. Say, how come they didn't fall? I say, you are growing. Say, no. Say, is it falling you want to fall? Why I fall now? Don't fall anywhere. Fall. Roll to that side and come back. Roll again. Ah. Please. That's, by the way, anyway. But any, I know you are a king, but those things you have to do, okay? As a king, you must know when to stand. You must know when to walk. You must know when to run. You must know when to sit. You must know when to bow. You must know when to kneel. You must know when to prostrate. Is that okay now? These are all postures that depict humility, depict authority, depict boldness, courageous, depict responsibility, depict your ability to relate with the people in your kingdom. I always define humility as being available for people that can never reward you, being there for someone that can never pay you. For instance, I don't know how much I'm paying the apostles to be here. Seriously, for this retreat every month, I don't know how much I'm paying them. They could have gone for a better meeting, or they could have just spent their time doing something better. But this is humility. Do you understand now? Humility is truly being available for somebody that cannot pay you. You know, we are living in a world of gain. What I mean by gain, anything you do, you want a gain for it. But it's not everything that you need to be gained for. There are certain things that are investment. Is that okay now? So there are times when there are things you have to do that nobody's going to pay you. Nobody's going to pay you. And I'm telling you, those things that you are doing has eternal relevance. You know, many times these days, people just come and meet me, or just meet any of these, let's say my apostles' friends, and they'll just say, release everything you have upon me. And I just laugh. There are things that are not transferable. Do you understand? Theoretically, it looks okay. That I release the impact when you are, that it looks okay theoretically. In theory, that when I lay my hands on you, I transfer everything inside of you. But practically, it's a lie. A very big fat lie. Because you still need to journey into many of these realities. And that will require a certain level of obedience, sacrifice, concentration. And these things are personally to everybody. So that's why everybody must still have to go through a kind of process. No matter how you do. These hands you have seen, we have been laid hands upon by diverse ministers. Diverse. But many of us, there are many that didn't become anything today. But some, they are more even closer than some of the ministers. We are even more worse. Why? Some of them became gifted rebels. And you know, a gifted rebel are never asset. A gifted rebel is never an asset. At least it's not an asset to you. It may be an asset to another person. Imagine you train somebody to kill, and the person now turn the gun to kill you. You would have just wished that you never trained him now. that's not Chinese thing. When the master, when the boy now want to kill the master, because the boy have learned more than the master. Are you okay? Even 48 laws of power, the number first law is never try to outshine your master. Fathers are fathers, masters are masters. Whether you like it or not, there are people above you. That's how this world works. Don't try to outshine them. Keep your pace, but fathers are fathers. When you see somebody above you, bow. Don't try to, all these big money things we do is a waste of time. There are people that you are above too. Do you understand now? So no matter you do, there will be somebody above you. I just learned that, is it? Polynesia just got a private jet. I know you are trusting God to buy a car, but this one bought a private jet. I don't know how many cars with that private jet buy. That's another level. No matter your prayer and fasting now, it's a waste of time to get that one. It's a level. When you reach that level, you will get it by default. Is that okay now? Oedipo today will not be talking about one private jet. If you want to buy 15, you will buy. In fact, they will give him. So somebody now is happy that he had a car or he had two cars. Somebody bought a private jet. And that person has like three or four of it. Somebody now has the company of the jet. So no matter how you do, you are saying you just heal one blind eye and you are posting everywhere on Facebook. There's someone that's opened 100 eye and nobody even knew. He didn't even tell anybody. Do you know what I'm saying now? So we need to be careful. You are rejoicing in the little thing. You are rejoicing that one guy was just so excited and so proud that he has 100,000 in his account. 100. Somebody just showed him his account balance. And the guy kept quiet. He now began to weep. That, oh, he now realized that life is like that. Please just keep quiet. Sometimes, you know, I always tell people that greatness and money has a voice. When you add your own voice, you become too lousy. Do you understand now? When you are great, or when you have money, it's enough voice on its own. When you now carry your own voice to add to it, you look at your microphone and you are telling the whole world, you are not too noisy. And the world will fight you, they don't like that. Is that okay now? We must be careful. Lastly, I end with this story. I think I told you about the story of Adeboye. When Adeboye went to, he's a king, do you realize that? When Iyadeboye was in Nigeria with his father in the law that time, they were actually doing quite a lot of things here in Nigeria. So one day they decided to visit Kenny Hagin. They went to Kenny Hagin camp meeting Tulsa, Oklahoma. That's where Kenny Hagin Bible Institute was. So they went there for his camp meeting. I know when you used to watch Kenneth Hagin can be laughing and healing people like Chaplin. Kenneth Hagin is a father, is really father of faith like Abraham. But he's the one that started all this faith thing you are seeing all these people doing today. Kenneth Hagin is their great grandfather. So when they went there, he said they used to see miracles happen in Nigeria. But when he went there, he saw the blind see, the lame walk. He saw the thing in a greater measure. He said, No. I'm a king, but this one is an anointing that I desire. And immediately, he said, I must see this man. I know they left many of them from Nigeria and they went. You know, it was those times that one naira is equal to $1. Do you remember those times? Many of you were not born. When one naira equal to $1. Now, I don't know, I think $1 is almost, how many naira? 400, right? Look at the devaluation. Look at the car. But we need to organize special prayer retreat for Nigeria. At that time, the same amount they pay for flight you pay, but now you can't survive like that. So he said he must see this man. They say, of course, it's impossible to see him. He said, of course, when there is a will, there's a way. When you insist to, you will see. And that was how he was. Later on, he got the appointment. The other people that went with him decided to follow or two. They went to the office. When they went to his office, the first thing he asked them, he said, young man, what can I do for you? That's a good question that great men always ask. The first guy said, sir, I want permission. Give me permission to share your books in Nigeria. The second guy asked, give me permission to share your tapes in Nigeria. The other guy said, give me permission to share your magazine in Nigeria. When they now reach Iyadeboye place, they say, okay, what do you want? Iyadeboye said, sir, I want everything that is in you that makes you you. You know, nobody has ever asked him that kind of a thing in his life. Nobody, even among the whites. So he saw a black man asking something that nobody has ever asked in the world. He said, what do you mean? You don't want permission to do something? He said, I want everything in you that makes you you. I don't know, that kind of an answer is the kind of answer that is the kind of way that he was helped to answer that, to ask that kind of question. Because flesh and blood can never reveal that to him. It's because we need a father in Nigeria. You may insult these guys you are seeing, but these people are product of strange graces and impactations beyond the borders of these nations. And that was how Kenneth Hagin said, okay, he called his secretary in. He said, secretary, this one wants permission to share my books in Nigeria. Take him to where there are books. Give him many books. This one wants permission to share my tapes. There are many tapes. Please, take him. Let them go and give him permission to share tapes. This one wants permission to share my magazine. Take him. He said, but this one wants everything that is in me that make me me. He said, you young man, come here. Kneel down. All of you, go out with my secretary and lock the door. Iyadeboye said, he only saw Kenneth Hagin's hand come to him. He only saw the hand. The next thing was that he was sweet. Everything was being transferred. That was strange. He felt flat to the ground. He's a king, but I told you every king must know when to walk. At that point, he didn't say, I'm also a man of God. Now, me too, I've healed a blind eye. Me too, I've healed a sick. That's why you remain the way you are. Anytime I see people that are higher than me in grace, they may be very small. One thing about me is that I am really, really an archaeologist. Now, you know, most of us that follow Sermon from campus, we really know what it means to get graces. I have learned a long time ago that multiple graces is not spiritual prostitution. You know, I hear people talk so that if you are going after many graces, it's spiritual prostitution. I say, you don't know what you are saying. Diversity of grace is an advantage. I am a product of many graces, and I'm still combining many. That I may become a hybrid. When he waked up, he was still on the ground. He realized that Ken Hagin was kneeling down on him, praying profusely. I was crying, God, transfer everything in me to this one. So after he wake up, he got what he wanted. He came back to Nigeria. No wonder he became what he became in Nigeria. Lastly, Salman recently. While I was in Koinonia, on Sunday, I learned of the trip you'll be taking for the meeting. It's a meeting they are having with them here with the Ima Ia Deboye, Holeneche, Oyedepo, Oege, Wale Oke, and while some of the fathers of this land. This is what grace can do. You know, it's not really about the meeting, but to let you understand that, sincerely speaking, ba, when you continue steadfastly, let everybody speak against you. It doesn't matter. When did this man start? They started like a joke. Every great man will always start like a joke. The same way your life right now may look like a joke. Everybody may not believe you. Forget about them. Focus. Just face your front. Focus and keep doing your best. People are attracted to success. I always say, success have many friends. Only failure stand alone. If you fail, you have to tell many stories. When you succeed, many stories will be told about you. That's how it works. While he went for the meeting, all of these great men gather. When it's time for him to preach, someone went on his knee. He said, I pray that all of your graces that you are here, let the grace fall upon my head. He used to preach now. If it's a young minister in Nigeria, say what? Say, finally, I'm preaching with them. Oyedepo. I'm preaching with them. Iyadeboye. And he will post it on Facebook. That's true, but all of these things doesn't make sense. I have had the privilege to meet some of the tremendous fathers that are making impact in this body of Christ. Most of them are the ones that mentor me from grassroots. But the emphasis was never to just snap it. You know, I go for me today, I see people snapping which one with me, if they just want to do it, and I just laugh. That thing is good. But you see, that does not automatically give you the grace. It's a joke. In fact, it doesn't even validate you. You must still have to prove yourself. Spiritual fatherhood or mentoring does not even automatically guarantee your success. No. There are many people that are fathered by genuine people that today they are very carnal. So how would you explain that one now? Many of them couldn't even become anything at all. The father was right, but they were wrong. They lived life as though in contradiction. Very a deviation of the value system of the tribe. So this thing does not automatically exclude you from your personal labor. Personal transformation is a lie. You must still have to labor. That's why when you are serious about your life, you will find a way to follow and learn and grow daily. Don't fold your hand waiting for a father to come and grow you by force. Sometimes they say you can bring a cow to the river, but you can't force him to drink water. He knelt down. Say, let the grace upon each and every one of you come upon me. What grace does that man want again? What grace again? But he wants more. Why? Because it's wisdom. It's wisdom. At every level in this journey, you will need the grace of God. If you think the one you have is enough, please, I want all your graces again here upon my head again. I want everything each and every one of you know. Let me add up to the one I know. This little prayer I'm praying, I want all the strength of the prayer. Now, while this was time for you, saw me there praying and shouting and doing, I am very serious. I even forgot that we are here praying together. It's a personal business. It's a he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. You may never know my secret until you understand my heart body, my heart posture. When we say pray, pray. When you are here for retreat, retreat. Don't be here waiting for somebody to coerce you. To know. Don't come here because of Philip Cephas or because of Kwanza or because of my cousin or because of any of the apostles. You are wasting your time. After many years, they will not reward you. It's God that rewards. Can you rise on your feet as we pray in 1 minute? We have already prayed for almost like 10 hours. If you have not been praying, whether you like it or not, the time we have apportioned for this prayer, we do and finish. I think we have about, is it 12 more hours now? For the retreat. About 12 more hours. Whether you like it or not, the remaining 12 hours will come and go. But I'm assuring it's either you that must have wasted your time or you must have utilized it. You will join the bank wagon and say, yeah, me too. I went and see Adeboye. I went and see Kenneth Hagin. Others collected impactation. You came with permission to share tapes and magazine. And that's why we never knew you. Somebody went together with you, but he came back with something. You went. That's the same way today. Many people are close to ministers, close to men of God. They are stealing their money, stealing things, duping them. Others are far and yet they are making contact. Their heart is being transformed. That's why I say, I don't only desire to have thousands of people that cannot bear relevance. No. If I can have 3-4 that can be very, very serious, it's enough. You can be serious with your life and be a genuine true voice. Search all over and see. How many genuine voices do we have? Nobody. Many of them have not done their homework. Everybody is a baby Christian. No strength in God. We talk about prayer is a challenge. Study is a challenge. Sacrifice is a challenge. Fellowship is a challenge. You are not willing to give up anything. Please, can you pray and ask the Lord? And say, oh God, let my life be relevant in time. Let my life be relevant in time. Don't just admire us. No. Don't just follow us. No. You can become something. There is still a vacancy for you. God has a work for you. He has a work. The goal of your following is to bring you to a point of leadership where you too can do the same. Either ways, if not, we have failed. I'm telling you, we have failed. Because we may not live forever. Fathers will die and go. If they don't die, God will take them. In fact, some of them will walk with God to a point that they will leave this earth. But you will remain. So please,